Chapter 13, Investors. Do your angels have wings? For a while, he was known as the most powerful investor you never heard of. By the time most of us had heard of Ron Conway, he had earned the title of the Godfather of Silicon Valley. He was an angel. No, not the celestial kind or the temperamental kind. The financial kind. An individual who provides capital for a company, usually in exchange for equity, that is a stake in the business. Angels are usually experts in screening companies and evaluating them for business growth. They are the people who help build tomorrows. In Conway's case, some of the startups he invested in as a silent partner included young hopefuls with interesting names like Google and PayPal. He was not alone in his heavenly work. Other angels put their money into startups like Apple Computer and Amazon.com. They did well, and so did the companies they backed. But Conway, for a time, was regarded as the biggest angel investor in the world, and for a while, the most successful. Like many others, he suffered when the tech bubble burst. But today, he still runs his ruler over 5 businesses a day in the search for the next Google. At the other end of the angel firmament are tens of thousands of other business investors with perhaps less wealth, but no less willingness to partner their cash with others' ideas and business acumen. At last count, there were an estimated 258,000 angels in the United States, armed with checks ranging from a few thousand to a few million dollars. They're among a select group of individuals and organizations, ranging from your wealthy cousin Madeline to slick venture capital, also known as VC organizations, we can loosely and collectively call silent partners. Although some of them turn out to be far from quiet. But even if your backer happens to be cousin Madeline or your lifelong buddy Martha, I urge you to follow the guidance of this chapter as though they were non-family partners with whom you didn't have a prior relationship. If you're looking to launch or expand a business, chances are you'll consider a silent partner from this group as an alternative to a business loan. If you succeed in finding one, it's most likely to be an angel, since they tend to invest in earlier stage companies. They also account for approximately 10 to 15 times the total amount of annual investment that VCs do, perhaps as much as $25 billion a year. And even though angels tend to have extensive experience at this partnership thing, it's still important that you go through the process of checking them out and agreeing to a prenup. Given the complexity of issues that arise, it's even more important that you use legal counsel. They will. In their way, angels need you as much as you need them. Yes, you want their money. And since many angels are retired senior business executives or serial entrepreneurs, you may also want the benefit of their experience, expertise, and access to important contacts. But they want a return. 27% is the average, though financial gain is not always their sole aim. Some will have altruistic motives such as philanthropy, job creation in areas of unemployment, support for developing socially useful technology, or backing ventures created by minorities. Usually, though, their first concerns are your business prospects, and they will focus like a laser on your business plan. On the other hand, you want to know that, yes, they have the money you need, and that their background and approach is compatible with your goals. The relationship you develop with angels can be just as crucial as with an active partner, especially if the angels are in a position to influence the way you run your business, or even to withdraw their backing at short notice. You may be stuck with them for a number of years, so make sure you feel comfortable with each other throughout the almost inevitable turbulence of your business activity. Before you even go down the route of seeking a silent partner, weigh the implications of doing so. Do you welcome outside ownership? Can you accept the possible loss of management control?
What? A loss of control?
Yes. Recognize that, depending on the size of the investment, an angel could own more than 50% of your business, though it's usually less. Can you accept guidance from others on how to run your business? If so, how much? There are widely differing degrees of silence in a silent partnership. These might depend on the attitude and motives of the investor, the size of their stake, and their general availability, as well as your need to seek support and advice from them. Check in with them monthly at a minimum. They'll appreciate regular reports. Much more intensive communication, perhaps daily phone calls or regular visits, are a possibility, but depend on the investor. So how do you find an angel investor? You may start your search for silent partners by running through a list of wealthy relatives. But most likely, you'll be looking for an angel who does this on a regular basis. There are lots of potential starting points. Chambers of commerce, accountants, attorneys, bankers, and small business development centers. Look at the names of principal shareholders in initial public offerings. Look into trade associations covering your area of business. Universities with entrepreneurship programs. Business incubator organizations. You might also want to check out angel networks, a growing sector of this investment market. You can find them, as well as many individual angels, through the Angel Capital Association. Their website is angelcapitalassociation.org. Finding the perfect angel takes time. You need to know as much as possible about them before you start making formal inquiries. The internet is a good source for starters, and some of the organizations that I mentioned may also have useful information. For example, the areas of their interest and expertise, the sizes of potential investment, and geographic location. You may need to fill in the information gaps with calls to individual angels or networks, especially since some of them may be fully extended at any particular time. Once you've whittled down the possibilities to a probability, you begin the process of sizing each other up for the prenup. Look for references to prior deals. Do the due diligence to confirm their involvement, money invested, and other issues like non-cash contributions. That's things like contacts and advice. Ask for tax returns or other financial statements to verify their ability to invest. Then you need to consider some of the other getting-to-know-you tactics explained elsewhere in this book. Crucially, you want to explore two things: the degree to which your potential angel partner wants to know about and influence business performance, and compatibility at the close-up interpersonal level. Realize, though, that personalities don't come into play as much in silent partnerships as they do with other active working partnerships. The personality things are rarely the cause of the breakup. More often, the problems arise when you've overstated your ability to reach certain targets, or your industry collapses and the investor withdraws funding, or there are other fundamental flaws with your business plan. The basic prenup will be similar to one for a working partner, explained elsewhere in this book. It should define the level of involvement of the investor, just as an active working partnership agreement covers some of the who does what. It should also specify procedures for communication, decision-making, dispute resolution, other external funding, and exit arrangements. It can also detail personal issues such as defining your specific role and agreeing on time out for vacations or emergencies. With the potential for significant capital investment comes the need for more significant documentation to outline that relationship with silent partners, and more severe penalties if you don't handle it properly. Once you bring in investors, you have to be even more mindful of securities law considerations. That's why you would want to have a private placement memorandum. Among other things, it discloses some of the risks in the investment, along with a subscription agreement that confirms the investor is sophisticated within the meaning of securities laws. These are detailed legal documents that involve not insignificant legal fees, but do not skimp on having proper legal counsel with expertise in this area. Not all attorneys who work with business partnerships necessarily work with investors, so make sure you screen them properly. Because also, if you don't treat the arrangements properly, you could find yourself to have violated federal securities laws, and that leaves you vulnerable also to state law fraud charges from your investors. Yeah, the stakes are high, but so are the potential rewards from an angel's involvement in your company. A final word about silent partners, especially when they come from family and friends. Screen them carefully. This is not the time to take Aunt Sophie's last $50,000 and dump it into your company. She's not a sufficiently sophisticated investor. But if Uncle Mel has more money than the U.S. Treasury, fully understands the risk, has previously invested in entrepreneurial companies, has lots of contacts, genuinely wants to help you build the business, and can stay out of your face and refrain from discussing the deal over Thanksgiving dinner, Uncle Mel could be a good idea. To summarize, there are three principal types of silent partners: relatives and friends, angels, and venture capitalists. Most likely, you're looking for an angel. Follow your basic research with a more detailed check of an angel's credentials, and then the tests for compatibility and discussions about the level of involvement. In addition to a partnership agreement, you should have other legal documents to ensure you comply with the securities laws on investors. Get experienced counsel involved. Your action steps. Ask yourself, what level of involvement from an external investor would be acceptable to you? What's unacceptable? If you're seeking outside investment, how would the financial relationship progress? Would it be a single infusion followed by the investor's withdrawal? Or perhaps the start of a longer-term partnership with phased or ongoing financial support? Would it be a stepping stone for drawing in even larger investment, maybe from a VC, as a prelude to a public offering? Suppose there are other working partners in the company and you disagree on the need for a silent partner. How will you deal with this?